Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. I am your host, Miss Chanel, and I'm just doing a special show since we had some technical difficulties earlier this evening for the book experience. I decided to do a show on illnesses. What do you do when you have an illness, and everyone thinks that, you know, you're okay or you look healthy, so you're not really sick? How do you cope with such illnesses and such conditions? So I can only speak from my own experience and go from there. We can have a healthy discussion. So if you would like to email me at ourvoiceradio@gmail.com, I'm more than happy to take your questions and answer them on air on how you deal with your specific illness, or how do you cope with conversations that you perhaps may have with, you know, some of your friends or perhaps your family. I know for me, for instance, I have been, they've said to me, well, you look healthy. You don't look sick. You look fine to me, which is a little bothersome at times, because oftentimes I actually feel horrible. But because I don't look per se ill, they don't believe that I'm ill. So I just go with the punches, unless it's just absolutely unbearable, which for the last 2 weeks, it has been absolutely unbearable. So let me give you a couple of conditions that are not really detectable. You don't know someone has this condition unless they say, hey, this is what I have. This is my condition. And most often people don't let you know. You know, they just go through their day-to-day normal routine and just deal with it. But a couple of conditions are sickle cell anemia, fibromyalgia, sometimes lupus can do it. You may not know someone has lupus, or there is a condition called a pseudotumor. I actually have fibromyalgia and the pseudotumor. And probably the number one culprit is depression. The most undetected condition, illness, which is a whole nother conversation all by itself. Nevertheless, when someone has these conditions, they look normal, they look healthy. But oftentimes, their bodies are racked with pain, especially the sickle cell patients or the lupus patients, and also the fibromyalgia patients. Constant pain, and I mean constant pain.
But you deal with it. You know, it's not something that you want to control your life. So depending on your tolerance of pain, you deal with it. Unfortunately, for sickle cell patients, it depends on where the crisis is, where they may have to go to the ER, which is sometimes just a difficult task in and of itself, because not all ERs, not all doctors, physicians, emergency room attendants are equipped to deal with, or knowledgeable, I should say, in dealing with sickle cell patients. They aren't. And so just dealing and seeing my aunt go to the hospital frequently, it's so heartbreaking. But the one constant that I can say in watching her, and I still have not learned how to do this myself, but the one constant that anytime you walk into her room, even though she is racked with pain, the pain is unbearable, she yet gives God the glory for it. And that is the most amazing thing for me to observe. Because in watching her do that, it increases my faith. And I try to tell myself, Chanel, the next time you go through a big, major crisis, a pain crisis, just remember to continue to thank God, even in the midst of that. Difficult to do, let me tell you. When I go through a serious pain crisis, that is the furthest from my mind. I tell myself, Chanel, do it, but I cannot. I simply cannot. I simply don't. I do call on the Lord because it hurts so badly, but my mindset is not one of thanks. And I'm just not there yet. And I have a lot of growth to do. I have a lot of growing to do. It's a process. And it's also about relationship. And I realize that my relationship with the Lord, or my relationship with God, is not the same as that my aunt has with God. And so I simply don't do it. And then I fail the test every time. But I keep saying, I have to remember, I have to do that. It has to come to a point where I still give God thanks. Because the Word says, in all things, give thanks. So even during that time, you know, because although it is a pain crisis, the thanks comes in the ability to still breathe. You may feel pain. The pain is horrible. I understand. I get it. But you're still breathing. I'm still breathing. So I'm not judging you if you don't do that either, because I'm not there yet. That's not my relationship with God. But it is a beautiful thing, and it is just an amazing testimony when you walk into the room and know and see the pain, understand the pain, and still hear the worship and the praise. You know, it's because she lives the Word. She just doesn't read the Word. She lives the Word, and she loves the Lord, and it shows. And it's such a wonderful example. But that's a sickle cell patient. Fibromyalgia is, you know, your body is not attacking your blood. It's a chronic pain. It's believe it's also known as chronic fatigue syndrome, where you're always tired. Always tired. You know, some say that fibromyalgia is helped, triggered by severe trauma to the body. You know, and I've always felt this. I half believe that is very feasible, likely that is true. I did suffer quite a bit of physical trauma thanks to my ex-husband. And so I believe that perhaps those blows that he gave to me numerous times helped contribute to this fibromyalgia. And it is very painful. It is sometimes very difficult to walk. It is sometimes very difficult to write, which is very bothersome for me because I am a writer, a poet. I write both longhand and type, and sometimes that mere task is extremely painful and difficult. There have been times where my hands constrict, and that might be due to the rheumatoid arthritis that I find myself with as well. But the fibromyalgia is something that is extremely painful. Painful, I would say, as the sickle cell patients. I would never say that, but it is a painful condition. It is sometimes difficult to walk up and down the stairs. I am thankful for handrails. Jesus, I'm thankful for handrails because the handrails have saved me many a day where my legs have given out and I've nearly fallen down the steps. I've fallen up several times. The handrails don't save me there, but they have broken my fall from falling down the steps. So that I'm thankful for. Yes, very much so. And what I am finding myself dealing with at this very moment is the pseudo tumor. So, with the pseudo tumor, it is exactly that. Pseudo means it imitates, mimics, false, fake, however you want to say it. It looks like a mass of something, but it is fluid that is on my brain. And it causes severe, excruciatingly painful headaches. They are ridiculous. Extremely painful. The headaches are so severe that it sometimes causes my face to go numb, sometimes my extremities, my arm, sometimes my leg. It's usually on the left side. It also plays with my vision. Sometimes I can see very well, and sometimes I cannot. Sometimes I'm a little nervous in driving home, which some may notice that I usually stay home. When I stay home quite a bit, it's usually because I'm bothered by the pain or the vision is too much. And I don't want to harm myself or anyone else getting behind the wheel. So I stay in the house, or unless I can have someone drive me around. But for the most part, I stay in the house. Right now, I am off work due to the painful headaches. And if you look at me, I suppose I do look healthy. However, I am not. I'm well aware of that. I accept that right now. I am not. This headache is horrible. But, so I'm not, I am obedient now in taking my medication. So I have to take, I believe now it's 1,000 milligrams a day. So I take two 250 milligram tablets twice a day to help alleviate the fluid on my brain. And if this doesn't work, if taking pills does not work, then the next or the possible solution is to place a shunt in my brain that goes into my stomach or abdomen and drains the fluids into my stomach. So, of course, I looked that up, that procedure up. And it's frightening. It is really frightening. And so, do I risk the possibility of going blind, which is a possibility if left untreated, or deal with the many complications that could arise from having the shunt? So that's where I am now. How do you deal with such illnesses? It's difficult. It is difficult, to say the least. It's scary. It's, you know, it's just something that I just ask, what do I do? What do I do? What would you do if you take the medicine and it doesn't work, or you go with your last resort, which the shunt is the last resort? So I've had a spinal tap to remove the fluid and take me down to a normal fluid. It was above normal. So it was 2 years ago, it was taken to a normal level, and I'm nervous because I have to go back to the neurologist, and I'm afraid that the only way to check the fluid on my brain is to actually have another spinal tap. That's not pleasant. It hurts, and, you know, you're actually in it's outpatient surgery, and oh, the stress of it all. It's just stressful. So, how do you cope with your conditions? If you have fibromyalgia, or if you have a pseudotumor or sickle cell, how do you cope with the reactions of others? You know, especially if you walk around and you don't really say that you're not feeling well, or you don't really, you know, announce your condition, and then once someone finds that you're ill and you hear things like, well, you don't look sick, you look okay to me. How do you handle that? One of the most irritating things that I can hear. How do you handle that? I don't know. It's troublesome sometimes. So, I need to lose weight. and tell me that losing weight that could minimize the fluid on the brain and take, you know, the pressure off my joints, which would help the fibromyalgia and the arthritis as well. But when you're in pain, it's a little difficult to push yourself like that. And then when you push yourself to exercise, you're in pain. You know, so you don't know if you're in pain from the exercise or pain from the condition. Sometimes it's a lose-lose situation. So tell me, how do you deal and cope with it? Send me an email. Let me know. OurVoiceRadio@gmail.com or tweet me, OurVoiceRadio. That's my handle on Twitter. Tweet or send me an email. I'd love to know how you handle those situations and those instances. Maybe you can share your tips and pointers with me and others. I said I'll read your responses online, on air rather, and I'll tweet you back as well. So I'm not going to keep you long. Thank you for listening. As always, I so appreciate your support and the fact that you take time out of your busy schedules to listen. This is just a brief commentary just on illnesses and conditions. And if you are one of those people that say to others, "You don't look sick to me," stop it. Don't do that. You put someone on the defensive and, you know, you make them uncomfortable, because how do you address that? How do you deal with that? How do you cope with that? I don't know. It's just, it's one of those difficult things, you know. So just before you speak, remain mindful of how others feel. Ask yourself, how would you feel if someone asked you that question or made that comment to you and you weren't feeling your best? How would you react? How would you feel? What would you think? What would you do? You know, do you laugh it off? Do you respond with an attitude? Do you walk away? Do you ignore it? What would you do? Let us know. OurVoiceRadio@gmail.com or on Twitter at OurVoiceRadio. Truly, we would really, really love to hear your comments and know how you cope or what your response is to that type of, sometimes people just don't know. That's an excuse. I hate when people do that to me. Well, I'm sorry. But that is an excuse always. Stop making excuses for others. It's not nice. We shouldn't do that. Stop making excuses. So, I am going to, as I said, I am taking medication. And the medication, of course, makes me groggy, a little foggy. It makes me take frequent trips to the laboratory, if you will. Yes. And so, I took some, perhaps an hour and a half ago, starting to do its thing. So I am going to end this segment, and I truly hope to hear from you soon. So again, thank you for your support. Join us tomorrow for a special segment, since we had technical difficulties this evening speaking with Janika Johnson. She is the author of I Don't Look Like What I've Been Through, Part 1 and 2. She just completed Part 2. It was published on the 1st of November. I read it today before our scheduled interview. You know, one of the things I love about the Anointed crew, that publishing house, I love every last one of the authors. I really do. I enjoy their work. And, you know, although they are Christian authors, their work is not predictable. It is not, and nor is it all the same. Their work is not the same. So you may think, and yes, I have gone off topic as I was closing, but you may think that, you know, you've read one Christian work, you've read them all. Not so. Not so at all. Denora Boone has done an awesome job in selecting the Christian authors who are published under her company. She has done a magnificent job, actually. And truly, truly, I honestly do. I love each and every author that she has in her group. I believe that I have spoken to each and every one on air. I am friends on Facebook with them. And they're very personable. They speak their mind. So, you know, if you push, they push back. And rightfully so. But those are my sisters. I truly, truly, I support them. And honestly, I'm not going to tell you to read something that I'm not a fan of. I would not do that to you. So, you know, I encourage you to pick up their books. They're awesome. Awesome. And Denora, the publisher, writes as well. In fact, I believe her and Janika are doing a collaboration. I'll have to verify that tomorrow during the interview or during the conversation with Janika when we talk about I Don't Look Like What I've Been Through. We'll discuss both books, 1 and 2. Hopefully you've read them. If you haven't, by the end of the interview or at the end of the conversation on the book experience, I truly hope that you will pick up the books. She's done a wonderful job. You'll see tomorrow. She's done an outstanding job. You know, I really can't say anything, and I wouldn't say anything bad on air anyway. I would. One of the things that I believe, especially with independent authors, you know, if you don't like their work, if there's something that you dislike, you know, in writing the reviews, write a review. Write an honest review. But negativity, you can save that and send an email and tell them privately what you think. You know, it's a way to do an interview constructive. I'm sorry, a review constructively. Without, you know, having nasty comments or whatever. These are not yet mainstream authors. But mark my words, they're well on their way. That's how much I support them and believe in their work. They are well on their way. So I encourage you to pick up their books and listen to the interview tomorrow. You will not, she won't disappoint you, I guarantee. Until tomorrow, I'm signing off. Take care. God bless. And please.